SAS Live. Good morning. Welcome to all of you who are watching live and then listening or watching later. Nunzi's got a little thing to say first before I start. She wants to do this live. I'm like her.
Good morning to you online. I wanted to bring to your attention, first of all, this book, which is Charlie and Jill's book. It's their grief story. It's called When Loss Comes Close to Home. It's their journey. 15 years ago, they lost their son. And they've been through a journey and they've written a book about it. They've also started to do their Beautiful Hope seminar, which is a grief seminar for people, and they're going to travel all over the world doing this seminar. They did their first one a couple of weekends ago, and it's online. It's the Beautiful Hope seminar. You can find it on YouTube. But the reason I'm highlighting it is because as a fellowship, we financially support Charlie and Jill, and some of us individually support them financially. And their ministry is shifting because they have led worship for Andrew Womack for decades. As he's traveled around, they've traveled with him and they've led worship for him at his meetings. But Andrew's is cutting back on his traveling, which means Charlie and Jill won't be doing that so much. And because of their platform that they have, because of the awareness of them through Andrew Womack, and previously they led worship for Joyce Meyer for 7 years. So they have a platform. And because of their experience of loss, they've believed that the Lord is leading them into more ministry in that area. So they're not stepping back, but they're reducing their music ministry and will be focusing more on their ministry now in the area of helping people deal with the grief and loss. So I would encourage you to get this book. It's not just for people who have lost loved ones. It's for those of us who know somebody who's lost someone, and helping us to help them, helping us to be what they need us to be and not to, you know, be blundering and insensitive, which, you know, we don't mean to do. Nobody means to do that. But just to help us in helping people who we know are suffering from grief. So I just wanted to make you aware of that while it's still, you know, strong in my heart. I've watched the seminar and it was beautiful. Charlie and Jill are beautiful people. And the way they share their experience, it's very raw, it's very honest. The honesty is lovely that they have. I would encourage you, please, to make these products available to you. Make yourself, what's the word?
Buy them.
Buy them, watch them.
Buy them.
Yes, and educate yourself in this area. At one time or another, every one of us will lose. We all suffer grief. So it will be helpful to you on your own journey, but also in your journey with healing, helping other people as they heal. Thank you.
Awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the way you've led us in worship. I thank you that we can come together as your family to focus on Jesus and to thank you for what you have done for us through him. Thank you for Nunzi leading us in worship this morning, Father. Thank you for the way you've been speaking to us already. We thank you for Charlie and Jill. Thank you for their wonderful ministry. Thank you for their hearts of compassion and mercy and their love for you. But we thank you now, Father, that we're going to gather around your word. We thank you that we're going to focus on these scriptures, focus on these seeds, going to plant these seeds into our hearts. I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus, that these seeds are not stolen, understanding, so that these seeds will germinate and grow and produce the fruit that we all desire in our lives. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Awesome. Turn to John 12 with me again, please. I managed to get through 16 verses last week. Only going to be three this week, Evelyn. I think. Taking me a while to get through these. We're on lesson 30 of Simply Jesus. Top ones if you're needing them off. Yeah. Lesson 30 of Simply Jesus. And we're traveling through the book of John. And when I started this a year ago, it must be a year now, is it? Well, it's 30 weeks, but 30 lessons, but you know, we had 4 weeks off at Christmas, as you do. And you've preached a few, so it must be about a year ago now, maybe. Anyway, traveling through, I didn't mean it to turn into a tirade against religion, but that's what it did. That's what it seemed to be. And we kind of moved the focus slightly into, we're moving into the climax of the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And getting exciting times. I spoke last week about the disciples must have listened, got their ears listening, pocket their lugs, as they say on Keith Community Radio, when they heard Jesus say, the hour has come. Because they'd heard him say, the hour has not come. Now he's saying the hour has come. Coming up to his final Passover on earth. We saw last week Jesus drawing all judgment to him, and we spoke of how amazing that was for us. Oh, we are so fortunate living under grace. Live thanks to that one amen, Evelyn. Andrew. Living under grace, living under the new covenant, living this side of the cross. Just realize I didn't mean to say that because I meant to say that at the end, but I'm going to sandwich the message this week between those truths. We're living under grace, living under new covenant, living under this side of the cross, where there is no more judgment for sin. None. And we've been discussing that this week, some of us. I said, I'm not sure what's going to happen on the day of judgment. Not 100% certain. I have my theories. Opinions, but I know that our sin is not going to be judged. Why? Because it's been on Jesus, it's been judged already. My opinion is as we approach that throne of grace, we're going to be judged individually on what we did with Jesus. It's a goats and sheep, it's a black and white issue. Did you accept him? Did you not? That's the judgment, in my opinion. Well, I'll see one day. I'm not going to go up. I knew I was right. I might have a bit more humility, but I'll have boldness. Because that's what the verse says. Amen. We can have boldness on that day. So let's go to John 12, verse 34. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Three small verses. Quite a lot going on in there. Quite a lot we can get from it. Now, we know from our previous lesson, we know last week, that Jesus had just been talking about his death. What he was going to do, what was going to happen to him. That seed falling into the ground, dying, producing fruit, being lifted up. We know he was talking about the crucifixion. And we spoke about how a lot of people didn't get it, but some people did. We'll see in a minute, some people did. We also know in the run-up to this that he's been claiming his divinity. I am. I mean, wow. We know how huge that statement was, because it's just send the Pharisees and the zealous Jews off the deep end. They knew exactly what he was saying. He knew what he was saying. He was saying, I am God. He was putting himself out as the Christ, as the Messiah. So some of these people, they hear Jesus saying, I'm the Christ, I'm the Messiah, I'm the God, I am God. And then they hear him talking about dying. And there were some people who were switched on to their understanding of Scripture that they thought they'd spotted a problem. Let me paraphrase verse 34. They said, we know the law. We understand the Scripture and the law. And it says the Christ will live forever. But you're saying you're going to be lifted up. You say you're going to be crucified. You're saying you're going to die. Who are you? What's this all about? See, they knew their scriptures. Psalm 21, verse 4, prophesied that Messiah would have the length of days forever and ever. Psalm 61 says the king or the Messiah's life will be prolonged. His life will be as generations. He was going to live a long, long time. Psalm 89:29 talks of his seed enduring forever, for his throne as long as the days of heaven. How long is heaven going to last? A long time. How long is his reign going to last? A long time. He's going to be alive a long time. Psalm 110:4 talks of the Messiah being a priest forever. One of the things the Jews of the day really knew was their scripture. Most men, after having done their education, could quote verbatim, word for word, the first five books of the Bible. I struggle with John 3:16. I struggle with some of my favorite verses. They could quote books and books. They knew their scripture. Scriptures pointed to the Messiah, the way they understood it, living for a long time, long, long time, indeed forever. But Jesus is saying, I'm the Messiah, oh, by the way, I'm going to die. In a few days' time, I didn't say that. But this was in just a few days' time, not in generations, but in a few days' time, he's going to die. How can you be the Messiah? You're claiming to be the Christ, but you're speaking death. What is that all about? Well, these people are making a classic mistake, a mistake that we see time and time again in Scripture, and a mistake we still see believers and the church making today. People hearing and seeing just on the physical. Just on the literal physical meaning of what Jesus was saying. We see it all the way through Scripture, through the Old Testament as well. Oh, I can't see these thousands of angels that are supposed to be surrounding the army. Well, look on a spiritual level and you might see them. All the way through Scriptures, we see that. People just thinking on the physical level again and not on the spiritual. Paul warns us against that. Romans 8, 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Physical, spiritual, they're on a different level, on a different plane. They're completely different. We as people, we're just prone to be too interested in the physical. What we can see, what we can hear, what we can touch, what we can eat. Some of us anyway. It's just physical, physical, physical. We tend to focus not on the spiritual enough. We see the disciples do it time and time again. They just don't get what Jesus is saying on the spiritual level. Too focused on the physical. And that, I think, is what we're seeing in the verse, in this verse here. You know, people, you said you're the Messiah, but you said you're going to die. The word says the Messiah is going to live forever. But not on the physical. Look what he's going to do on the spiritual. Of course the Messiah is going to live forever. The Messiah has been alive forever. He's been alive from infinity to infinity. But they just didn't see that. They didn't get it. So they say these things to Jah, we just don't get it. What are you talking about? And once again, we see Jesus not answering the question. Did Jesus ever answer a question, you know, directly? We've got this question, Jesus. Here's the answer. Now we've got a question, Jesus. Oh, here's this little story and parable that will take you round eventually to some other truth. And he does that again. He doesn't answer the question directly, but he takes a chance to teach. But I'm reading this when I was meditating on it yesterday. I was looking at it. I also think he takes a chance to get onto their level and talk a bit about the physical reality that they're going through. I love that about Jesus. He'll get down to people's level. Now, was it Peter? He says, "Do you love me, agape?" And Peter says, "I love you, philos." Do you love me, agape? I love you, philos. Do you love me, philos? You know, Jesus got down to Peter's level, and I just love that. But here, I think he does something similar. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." He talks of light. That word is phos, where we get phosphorescence and all that from. Means to shine, to make manifest, luminous. And of course, we know he's talking about himself there, because he's got a history on this. He's spoken about this before. Well, it's been spoken of in the scriptures. John 1:7 says, "The same came for a witness," talking about John the Baptist, "the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He is not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." We know John was there to herald the coming of Jesus Christ. He was there to tell people about Jesus. Jesus is the light. And just a few pages back, John 9:5, Jesus says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." He is the light. He's made that clear. He walks in the light. While you have the light, he's saying. I think he's talking here to the guys on a physical level. Because that light that he's shining as a human being, as a man, that is going to be extinguished soon. So he's saying to them, walk in the light while you have it. He doesn't say, because it's going away soon. He said that already. So he's getting down onto the physical. He's talking about, he's getting onto their level. Walk with me. Walk in this light while you have it here, while you have it in the physical. now. Now, later, he will talk of sending his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be in us and with us always. But right now, in this context, while Jesus is saying it, in that day, he's saying, today for those people, the light was there with them. So while you've got the lights, walk in it. A few verses just passed, he spoke of his death, that he'd not be with them always. Now we know the spiritual truth. Yes, Vic. We know the spiritual truth. But he gets onto their level at this time. Walk in my light, not in the darkness. In the dark, you don't know where you're going. You're directionless. With me, you can see, you have direction, you have purpose. That's what Jesus is saying here. But I think this is a picture for us too, because we're the other side of the cross, we can look back. Because of course, in him, we have direction. We have purpose. We can see what we need to see. We can see where we need to go. But without him, from my understanding, what I see, people can't see. They're directionless. They're going any which way, but the right way. You know, if you're in the dark, you're groping around. I mean, last night I had a little bit of an episode where I woke up being sick and I jumped out of bed. And I don't know if Nancy had heard me, but I heard myself saying, "Where's the door?" You know, I've opened that door thousands of times in the dark. But just this one time, I was a little bit disorientated. I couldn't find the door. Why? Because it was dark. You can't see where you're going. And of course, bottom line, if we just think purely on the physical again, no light, no life. I've used this example before. No light, no photosynthesis, no plants, no cows, no steak. Ergo, I can say that today because Carol's not here. Ergo, no life. What is the point in life without steak and brisket? Pulled pork, sorry. But without the sun, small s-u-n, without the sun, there's no light. And we can say that also is true without the sun, capital s-o-n, there's no light. Well, that's good. I like that. Without the sun, S-U-N, no life. Without the sun, big S-O-N, there's no life. There's just existence, amen? So he says, while you have the light, that is me. This is Jesus speaking. No. While you have light, while you have me, believe in me that you may be the children of light, my children and my family. Now, Jesus has flicked over again, I think, into the spiritual. No, because they weren't his family. But he's saying, this now he's flicked over at the spiritual again. Believe in the light that you may be the children of light. Talking spiritually. And Paul reminds us about that as well in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I could preach on that verse for a fortnight. You see, you probably did. Probably did. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Oh, in him. In Jesus, we are adopted into the family of God. And that's his pleasure. That's his will. That is awesome. Jesus speaking here, he's only going to be on earth as a physical man for another couple of days. So this part is not literal. This is him talking spiritually. They are adopted into his family, children of God, and even better, all of us, including you ladies, adopted as sons, with a full inheritance that that adopted son gets. Awesome. How can we summarize that verse, this truth? Walk in the light, believe in the light, you will be children of light. Walk means to live, to deport oneself, to follow, to be occupied with. Believe means to credit, to entrust, to commit to, and believe. You do that, walk in, and you believe, and you're a son of the living God. Now, I see this as this walking part as having knowledge of him. It kind of ties up what Nunzi was preaching off a few weeks ago between knowledge and believing. If we have knowledge, know Jesus, believe in Jesus, we're part of the family of God. What an amazing truth that is. And all this is possible because of what is just about to come. That's why he has to die. That's going to make this all possible because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And this is coming, and Jesus knows that all too well. And I believe that knowledge, Jesus knowing what is coming, that's why we see the final part of verse 36. These things spoke Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. I was thinking, you know, we're getting to chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, some of the most amazing words of Jesus Christ in the whole of Scripture. He hasn't got a long time left. And he goes and hides himself. Literally hours to go. And he goes and hides himself from people. Took me a long time. I was thinking about that. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now we see Jesus on a number of occasions going off on his own into the mountains to pray and seek his Father. So yeah, I see this as part of it, but I think there's something else. I see Jesus removing doubt and unbelief from himself before performing this miracle, the ultimate. And we've seen him doing this before. Look at Mark 5. That's Mark 6. I know I'm not talking about feeding the 5,000. Mark 5. And he cometh, 38, and he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the mother and the father of the damsel and them that were with him and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straight away the damsel arose and walked. We see Jesus, yes, going on his own to be with the Father on a number of occasions. But we also see him removing doubt and unbelief from his presence. I think he's doing both here. It doesn't explicitly say that, but with the urgency of the situation, Jesus, knowing what he was going to go through over the next few hours in his earthly body, knowing the importance of what he had to do, that this is why he came. This is what the last 30-odd years are building up to. Well, the last thousands of years are building up to. He had a mission to complete. I think he needed time with the Father. He needed away from doubt and unbelief. He is about to fulfill his purpose of coming onto this earth. And as a man, this was going to be something horrendous to endure. Something awful. And we saw a little bit of that last week. Was it last week? Yes. John 12, 27. Now is my soul troubled. This is Jesus speaking. I'm having trouble here in my mind, will, and emotions. And what shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour? Can I maybe not do this? I know how horrendous this is going to be. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus knew what he was coming to do, knew what he was going to have to go through, knew it was going to be horrendous, but determined to succeed, knowing what he would have to endure in the flesh and in the body. And we'll see that later when I get to it in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his body was so stressed that the capillaries just below his skin burst and he sweated blood. So he departed and hid himself from them. Them. Who's them? Who is he just talking to? The people operating in the physical. The people doubting that he was the Messiah, as he seemed to be talking against all those scriptures in the Psalms. People full of doubt. I see Jesus getting away from the physical to get into the spiritual realm with the Father. And what a lesson that is for us, amen. Less focus on the physical and more on the spiritual. What I see Jesus doing here, I mean, Jesus wrote the Bible. Jesus knew that Romans 6:8 was going to come along. Or was it 8:6? 8:6. Romans 8:6. Jesus is living out Romans 8:6 here, I think. Being spiritually minded and not carnally minded. Now, I was thinking, you know, I'm not going to condemn myself if I fall into the carnal and say, oh, woe is me, this is horrible. Jesus did that. Well, he didn't say, woe is me. But he had doubts in his carnal mind. Oh, my, what am I going to have to go through? Do I have to do this, Father? Yeah, I know, that's what I came for. So even Jesus was carnally minded occasionally. But I was thinking, Jesus going away, departing, hiding himself from them. That was his way of moving from the physical into the spiritual. And I think it's something we need to do more of. Now, I'm not telling you, go and depart and hide yourself. But if that's the way you get with the Father, go and depart, hide yourself. I go out and look for the ospreys. That's how I depart and hide myself, get closer to the spiritual. Saw my first one of the year yesterday down at Findhorn. Oh, love ospreys. No swallows back yet, but the osprey is. But yours might be worship. Yours might be getting in your prayer closet on your own and hiding away. I don't know. But each one of us needs to find out how to get away from the physical and to get into the spiritual, to depart and hide ourselves, to get up, to get with the Father and away from the physical. Because normally, let's be honest, normally the physical that we encounter is doubt and unbelief. Because it's of the flesh. It's of the carnal mind. Jesus here models one way of doing that. His was solitude with the Father in prayer. That might be yours. It might be walking in nature. It might be having on your headphones, blasting delirious through your eardrums, or listening to the quiet, the blessing, whatever. Reading the words, obviously. But just to finish the overriding thing that I got out of this, and it's a theme that I've been thinking about over the past few months, as I was studying out this verse and seeing Jesus speaking to people in the old covenant. I'm just thinking about how blessed I am, how blessed we are, and how more blessed we are than these people who walked with Jesus. You know, I've spoken about this a number of times. I've heard people saying, oh, wouldn't it have been wonderful to walk beside Jesus? No. Most of the time, didn't have a clue what he was speaking about. You know, you need hindsight. You need to see what has come. You need to have the word. You need to have the Holy Spirit guiding you to understand some of the things Jesus said. Oh, you eat my flesh and drink my blood. That must have just went over most people. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's great being with you, but I'm going to die. You know, we need to have hindsight to see. And we're blessed we can look back and see, oh, that's what he's talking about. We are so much more blessed. You know, here he is saying, walk with the light while you can, and the light will always be with you. He's saying, in this incarnation, this body that you see, I'm not always going to be with you. But that was said under the old covenant. We live under the new covenant. A better covenant with better promises, it says in Hebrews 8, 6. Or is it 6, 8? I think I might have got my 8, 6. What's the carnally minded? That's 6, 8. They're both 8, 6. Okay. Better covenant with better promises. Why is it a better covenant with better promises? Because we have that light. And it will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5 says, that light will now never leave us. It will never forsake us. We always have the light within us. We always have the light around us. We have the light illuminating us through the word. We have the light living inside us through the Holy Spirit. We have the light of each other in the local church to encourage, edify, and exhort. We are blessed, blessed, blessed to be living in this age, the church age, the new covenant, under grace, and looking back and seeing what was going to be promised. I mean, what's really been speaking to me over the last few months has been that song, The Blessing, which I told you last week, I used to get on my high horse and say, why are we singing this old covenant nonsense? Why are we singing old covenant scriptures? Because it reminds us what we've got in the new covenant, Vic. That's why. Now you come into my study, it's on all the time. I'm like singing it all the time. Singing these old covenant promises. Yes, this new covenant believer who now knows he's got them. He has blessed us. He has kept us. His face is shining upon us. He has been gracious to us. He has accepted us, and he has given us peace. And we can sing that, even though it's old covenant scripture, we can sing that knowing that we've got it. And just to finish, just to sum it, it's the same here. It's absolutely the same here. That light will never leave us. We always have it. We don't need to be anxious about that light ever leaving. Us. We are blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, wonderful scriptures. I'm loving now looking at the old covenant. Those verses, I used to say, those old covenant verses aren't for us. We're new covenant believers. The old covenant's not for us. It is to look at the promises of what we've now got. Look at some of the Psalms. You know, the psalmist begging for things. I've now got it. The psalmist saying, oh, it's going to be great when these days are coming. We've now got it. Anyway, communion. You like your service? Thank you. Awesome. Hallelujah. Bless you, Pauline. All that stronger one. Well, they're all the same, aren't they? Hallelujah. Awesome. Thank you, Missy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you that we can come together this morning to finish our time together around these elements. We thank you for communion. We thank you that we can take communion every time we meet. We thank you that we can take communion on our own, in our homes, wherever, Father. We thank you that it's a time of remembrance of Jesus. We thank you that the words that Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Paul says, do this in remembrance of him. It's all about Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the words we are studying recently, looking at the build-up to that amazing finished work. And we thank you so much that we can remember that every time we meet by focusing on these elements. So we thank you for the symbol of his body given for every single one of us. We thank you that on that body went all judgment for sin, all sickness, pain, poverty, and lack. We thank you that he took them to the grave and left them there when he rose again. We thank you, Father, that it pleased you to bruise that body, to pulverize and crush that body for every single one of us. And we thank you for the symbol of his blood shed for the forgiveness of sin. Yes, Father, we thank you that there was that duality on the cross. At the same time, judgment and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank you for that as his blood flowed, forgiveness flowed for all sin. Thank you that it was a once forever sacrifice. Now all judgment has been met and all forgiveness has been given. And we thank you for that, Father. So we thank you for the body and the blood of the Lord. Amen. Oh, amen. Abba, Father, thank you so much for our time together, but we thank you more for the finished work of Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that it means for us, all that we have through Christ and in Christ, all that we have been made as a gift of grace through faith in that finished work. We thank you so much, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming, guys. Thank you for watching. We'll see you Monday night for communion. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Evelyn, yes. So I'm looking at Monday night for communion. Evelyn will be there. Thursday night for communion Bible study, Saturday morning for communion. And then back here again next week. Amen. Hallelujah. Bye, folks.